Thank you. I am humbled to stand before you this morning. And I'm reminded through that song that prayer shows our dependence on God. When we don't pray, we are depending upon ourselves to accomplish something. So the task that is before us demands prayer. Because if we depend upon ourselves, it will not be pleasing to God and it will not go very far. So let us pray. Father, we are dependent upon You today. We have been dependent upon You for the air that we breathe, for the sun that gives us warmth, for the gravity that keeps everything intact, for authority that You have set up no matter how good or how bad. Lord, we are thankful for You. We are dependent upon You. Lord, we are dependent upon You for our salvation and for our Christian life and growth and direction. And so, Father, help us today. Meet with us. This is not an event built around man, built around some spectacular that will make us happy and that we will go home saying, "Wow, what an event." But I pray that all that we say and do will be built around Your Word, Your desire, for one day we will stand before You. And one day we will give an account. And it will matter, nothing will matter about what we did in our own strength, but what You did through us. And so God bless us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And this morning, briefly, I want to talk to you about rising above in our sacrifice. Parents make great sacrifices. College graduates make great sacrifices. And many times, parents make great sacrifices, investing in their children to graduate from college. If you're going to achieve something in this life, it's going to cost you something. And there are always risks. At my age, when you have to go in for surgery, and at any age, but especially at our age, the doctor will tell you the risk. I'm always amazed at the new medicines that they advertise on TV. And they always have to tell you of all the consequences with it. And after listening to all the consequences, I think, why in the world would I ever want to take that medication? And so there are risks. But with salvation, there is no risk. We gladly receive it as a free gift and we trust Him as our Savior. And so now when we cast all of our cares on Him, because He does care for us. And today we are dealing with this subject of missions and rising above in our sacrifice. We always want mom and dad to rise above. And mom and dad always want our children to rise above. And a teacher wants their students to rise above. And God is no different. He wants His church to rise above and to be successful. And He's given us all of the things necessary to accomplish that. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning with verse 6. "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, For God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, He hath dispersed abroad, He hath given to the poor, His righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God, whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Father, again, we thank You for Your Word. Speak to our hearts. Help us to listen to it and to understand it and to accept it and to apply it and to live by it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Rising above in our sacrifice. Has there been a time when we have really, really sacrificed for the Lord? How many could give testimony that they have really, really sacrificed? Oh, I would think that a young mother giving birth to their child would say, I think I've sacrificed in giving birth. But the reward was well worth it. I think a young man that would go out and spend $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 for an engagement ring, I'm sure that's what it cost, says it was well worth the sacrifice. And all of the money that he would spend on her, all of the money, it was not a problem for me to spend everything that I had on Connie before we got married. I didn't care. She was a prize that I wanted to win. And so whatever it took, I was willing to give that. And so rising above in our sacrifice, there is a reward for it when we do that. William Borden, the heir of the Borden fortune. In 1887, he was born in 1887 and died in 1913, a Yale graduate, an heir to all of that wealth, but rejected the life of ease to take the gospel to the Muslims. The more people have, the less they are willing to sacrifice, is often the case. He refused to buy a car. He gave away hundreds of thousands, died at the age of 25 of spinal meningitis, and on his tombstone and the inscription was put, apart from faith in Jesus Christ, there is no explanation of life. I'll meet him one day in heaven. He may be there rooting us on. I don't know if people in heaven can see what's going on in this earth. I personally think they can, but I can't prove that. But if they can, I think that they're rooting us on. And I think they're saying, just wait. It's just a little bit longer. And you're going to be here and I can't explain to you what this is like. Oh, we hear the stories of people, and we've recently heard it on the news of somebody who has died and come back. And some of those are contrary to the Word of God. Some of the things that they tell and say of what God told them or what they saw in heaven. And I go to the Word of God and I said, wait a minute, that's contrary to the Word of God. So I know that what they saw is not true. And yet others say that they've been there and they've come back and it was a light. And I have no idea. I don't know what Lazarus said. Now, he was one that Jesus said he was dead and he brought him back. But it's not registered at all in the Word of God. Now, wouldn't you think that that would be really something that somebody that was in heaven? But wait a minute. Jesus was in heaven, wasn't he? And what does Jesus tell us about heaven? He gives us some insight of heaven, something that you and I possibly could understand. He couldn't explain it all because we would never be able to comprehend all of that. And so in this short life that we have a task to perform. My faith and my hope, my level of hope is based upon the ability of the source. When Connie said, I do, and I will marry this man, she had faith in the ability that I was going to take care of her. When I placed her in the car and we placed those two little children and we headed south and crossed over that border, not speaking a word of Spanish and running through that desert and having very little dollars in our pocket, she didn't worry about whether we were going to make it or not. She had faith and trust in me. I worried whether we were going to make it or not. But she had total confidence in me. If she only knew what I knew, she would have worried. But we can have total faith and confidence in God because He does know what He's doing. And when He asks us to do something, we can be confident that this is the will of God. Now, if I ask you to do something, you cannot be confident that you will be recompensed, even though I promise you. Because before payment is due, if you loan me some money, I could die. And you wouldn't get it back. But I'm going to tell you, that's not the case with God. Because what He promises, He always fulfills. Let's turn over to the book of 1 Kings chapter 17. In 1 Kings chapter 17, we read about a man by the name of Elijah. Elijah is a great prophet. There's a king of Israel by the name of Ahab. Now remember, Ahab is the king of Israel. Ahab is a Jew. And he's the king. But there's a problem, there's several problems with Ahab. One of his big problems is that he married a woman by the name of Jezebel. Now that word is synonymous today for, we use that word of a sleazy person. Oh, she's a Jezebel. And so Jezebel was a pagan. Jezebel was one that served Baal. And Ahab loved Jezebel. And Jezebel manipulated her husband to get him to worship the pagan gods. Well, it's not long before God raises up a prophet by the name of Elijah. Elijah was a man's man. And yet we find Elijah going through a little period of depression and discouragement. And that happens, and that just shows us that all men are human. But Elijah, God spoke to Elijah and told him to do something and to go to Ahab and prophesy against him. And boy, oh boy, Jezebel did not like that. And Jezebel threatened his life. And of course, she had the king's ear and all of the authority that she could have through him. She sought out to kill Elijah. But God was going to take care of Elijah. And we pick up the story here in 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years upon years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it came to pass that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass, after a while, that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the woman was there, gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as he was going to fetch it, he called her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and for my son, that we may eat and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. And bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. That might seem a little selfish, doesn't it? But remember, Elijah is a man of God. Elijah is one who had seen the power of God and seen God do great things. Just recently, God fed him by the ravens bringing him food. I don't think Elijah had ever seen that before. And God had commanded that. And he was going to do something. He was a prophet, a true prophet of God. And so in his mind and in his heart, there was no fear. And I stand before you this morning behind this pulpit that is not mine, but our brother has allowed me to stand here without fear and tell you that don't worry about your own finances and your own needs, but I want you to make me a little cake first. I want you to give a faith promise to God. I want you to do something for Him, knowing because I've seen all of these years that God has taken care of His children. And He has blessed them abundantly. And I stand here to tell you that God will bless you abundantly as you give to Him. You cannot outgive God. If you will faithfully love your children, you know what that produces? They will love you back. And they will come and they will wrap their arms around you. That's priceless. And they will look up into your face and they will say, Mommy, Daddy, I love you. And in a time of a storm or fear or some circumstance, they will run to you and you will embrace them and you will love that experience. And so I stand here to tell you that you cannot outgive God. God will bless you. And He will give you a peace that passes all understanding. What is it that man is searching for? He tries to buy it. He tries to steal it. He tries to do everything that he can. But what is it that man is looking for? Is it a bigger house? Is it a bigger family? Is it more pleasures? What man is ultimately looking for is peace. So that when he lays his head upon his pillow at night, he can go to sleep with great peace, not worrying whether he will wake up on this earth or wake up on the other side. Verse 14. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel. It's not Elijah saying it, it's God. The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. This woman could have used her circumstance as an excuse not to give. She tried. She said, I don't have anything except enough for me and my son, and then we're going to die. You might say, I can't give because of my circumstances. Let me ask you something. Are you poorer than this lady? Is there anybody here that's worse off than this lady? And God is asking something from you. I'm not asking. God is asking. He says, try me. Prove me. And I will show myself to you. When we don't do that, we really don't have a relationship with God. It's like a lot of people that live together, but there's no relationship. This is my husband. This is my wife. But there's no love there. They just live and dwell in the same home. And I'm afraid that too many Christians have that type of relationship with God. So what I'm saying might not mean much to you because that may be your relationship with God. And you've never felt His real love. Oh, you know He loves. You know He loves the pastor. You know He loves others. But I'm not sure He loves me. Why is it that you feel that He doesn't love you? If you don't know the answer to that, I'll give you the answer to that. Because you've severed that relationship between you and Him. And if you'll renew that relationship with Him and fall in love with Him, you'll have that great and perfect peace that only He can give. So the circumstances shouldn't keep us from giving. God is going to stretch our faith. Her faith was stretched a little bit. Giving is based on our spiritual attitude, not the present day conditions. She had to rely upon the source. What was her source? Elijah. And what was Elijah's source? God. What is your source? My pocketbook. Well, if it's only your pocketbook, then it's going to be limited. But if your source is God, it's not going to be limited. It's only going to be limited about because of your lack of faith. And so as we love God and want to give to Him, then we give more. I told you my wife goes bonkers. She goes nuts on Sundays. When we're at home, she cannot make all of the kids come to our house for meals every Sunday. She cannot make a meat and a potato and a vegetable. That's normal. She's not normal. She has to have a golden corral. She has to have several. And my kids, now they don't complain. They don't say much. They don't give any input at all because they don't want it to stop. They like it. But I've told you before, you know why she does this. She genuinely loves her kids. And she is more than willing to give everything that she has to them. Connie and I took our first cruise just a few weeks ago. I truly, truly enjoyed it. I wish she would have enjoyed it as much as I did. You know what her thought was? I don't like this because I'm out of communication with my kids. She says, I want to. I said, well, I'm here. Well, I know I'm glad you're here, but I want to talk to the kids. And I said, you can't. You know, there were you could call, and yeah, but it was real expensive. But I just don't. You can't. There's no phones on here. Do you see any phones around here? We can't do it. But I did go past a little room where you could do that. But I didn't let her know where that was at. Your faith is going to be stretched. But I want to tell you, when you really want to do it, it's not an issue. Oh, the promise. She was given a testimony. And she needed God a little bit later on, remember, with her son. And Elijah came back and blessed her again. I'm going to tell you, God will bless you. He said in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God will bless you for that. Man came to the pastor and said, I could give $100 and not even feel it. Pastor said, why don't you give $200 and feel it? Sometimes we come up with these little things, you know, I can do this and I can do that. Why don't we just trust God and believe it? All the blessings that came to this lady. And the blessings will come to you that when you give, not grudgingly, but you give out of your heart because you love Him, because you're obedient to Him, because you understand what you're supposed to do, and you say, Lord, I'll give that. Jesus gave all for us. Well, He was God. Do you think that Jesus felt pain? The Bible says He was hungered. Why did He have hunger? He was God in the flesh. Could Jesus say, no hunger, no pain, I don't feel anything? I don't think so. Yeah, but brothers, I knew He was God. Remember, He suffered like you and I. He took on flesh like you and I. Why in the world would anybody leave heaven and come here and live 33 years? But He did it for you and He did it for me. Remember those little children that come and they embrace you and say, Mommy, Daddy, Nana, Papa, Grandma, Grandpa, I love you. Oh, that's what God wants from us. He wants us to say, oh God, I don't know why You would love me, but I love You. And I want to serve You. Now you can't love Him if you don't know Him. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Oh preacher, I believe in God. I'm not talking about that. The Bible says the demons and the devil believe in God. That doesn't mean the drunkard down at the bar. He believes in God and he makes the sign of the cross before he leaves the bar and he says, God, help me get home. He's looking for something different. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, has there ever been a time that you said to Him, not in these exact words, but in the exact meaning, God, I'm lost, I'm a sinner, I'm on my way to hell. And I don't want to spend eternity in hell. God, take me to heaven when I die. If you've never done that, why haven't you? It's a free gift. Well, I'm afraid, preacher. Well, what are you afraid of? Well, I'm afraid I'll have to change. What is in your life that is so lovely and so great that you want to give up? Well, I'm going to have to quit living with this woman. Well, why don't you marry her? Well, I can't marry her because I'm still married to the other two. I know it's funny, but do you understand what I'm saying? My point here is this, that we try to complicate. There is no situation. None on the face of this earth that God could not forgive you from. The only sin that He will not forgive is the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. And you know what that is? That's the rejection when the Holy Ghost convicts your heart to trust Christ as your Savior and you say no. That cannot be forgiven because you can't get to heaven on your own. But will you trust Him today? Would you just freely and say, Jesus, I'm a mess. Listen, how many of us are a mess? I'm the first one to raise my hand. We all are. Listen, you're not in a boat by yourself. We're all a mess. And God took this mess and He cleaned it up with His blood. And when I said, Jesus, save me, come into my heart, He saved me and He'll do the same thing for you. Maybe you need to come for baptism. You've gotten saved, but you've never gone through the waters of baptism. You've never made it public. Oh, I'm just embarrassed. He's not embarrassed and ashamed of you to save you. Why would you be embarrassed to let others know? Well, there's some things in my life. Well, get those things straightened out. And pass through the waters of baptism and let others know that you've taken your stand. Why, I don't want all my friends at college or at school or at work to know. Why wouldn't you want them to know that you're different? Is it because you still say bad words? You still do bad things? Clean it up. Maybe you need to come and join this church. If I lived in this area, this is the church that I'd be. I know Brother Prettyman over there would say, well, you need to join my church too. I know, but I'd probably live over here and say, well, you're too far. But I joined this church. Need to come and join a church and participate in that church and grow with that church and give to that church. Maybe you just need to come and to this altar and say, God, help me. There's some areas, some issues in my life that I need to get right. I don't know how God's dealing with you this morning. And after this invitation, we'll deal with the faith promise. And we won't be long. We'll fill out those cards and pass those in. But right now, we want to go into the invitation. We want to, let's think about these decisions that we have to make right now. Let's all stand. Now, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one looking around, might there be somebody say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure if I were to die right now, I'd go to heaven. No one's looking around, just me. And I won't mention your name, but I would like to pray for you. Is there someone? Just slip up your hand and then put it down. I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. God bless you. Someone else? God bless you. Someone else? God bless you. Someone else? Preacher, I'm not saved. I'm not sure if I were to die right now, I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? All right. Is there someone else? Say, Brother Ziner, pray for me. God's been dealing in my heart. And I need to make some decisions for Him. Would you pray for me about it? Just slip up your hand and then put it down. All over the auditorium. God bless you. God bless you. All right. All over. All right. Father, You saw the hands of these that were raised. And I pray that they would not be fearful, that they would come, take the preacher's hand. Let someone show them simply out of Your Word how that they could know for certain that if they were to die, they'd go to heaven. God, would You bless in a great way. Others raise their hands about decisions that they have to make. God, I pray that You'd help them. May they keep their eyes focused and on You. Realize that You are their joy. You are their peace. You are their strength. You are their all. That should help them to make that decision. And so God, help them to do that. Bless this invitation. Now with our heads bowed and our eyes closed and the pianist playing, I don't know how God has spoken to your heart, but if you need to make that decision, come right now. Come on.